before we invite him up, let's all turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord.
Well, thank you for welcoming me to share the word of God with you this morning. Our friendship with the church goes way back to several years ago when I was studying for my MDiv at Regent College, and then after that I returned to pastor a church in Singapore, and time flies, and some 9 years has passed, and then we are back with you this morning. Thank you for the joy of being with you during this time, and also thank God for the privilege to share with you the Word of God this morning. I remember that some 3 years ago, meaning that from now 3 years ago, we were asked by the church to go to Philippines to pastor a church. It is an interim measure for 2 years before they find a Filipino pastor. And so we were there, my wife and I, and we thank God for the opportunity. And while we were there, I learned a new word, a useful word, and the word is selamat. I think the one is something that you are familiar with, selamat. Someone asked me, how are you? I would say, selamat. Do you like Singapore food? Do you like Filipino food? I would say, selamat. Is the weather okay? Selamat. It's a good word, isn't it, to use? And we thank God that more than just the word, over the time, we learned a couple of words and we could connect with the people there. And so 2 years passed by quickly, and today, we're with Julia and Nate and our two grandsons. And so what a wonderful opportunity, what a wonderful blessing it is for us to reconnect with them again, and also to reconnect with our friends at FEC. And so we want to thank you for making us feel at home. Salama. Yeah, and so today we're looking at Luke chapter 15. Chapter 15 is, if I may say, it is a lost and found chapter in the Bible. The first part of Luke 15, verse 1 to 7 tells us that a shepherd has 100 sheep. One sheep was lost, and the shepherd leaves the 99 behind, went to look for the one lost sheep, found the lost sheep, and there was great rejoicing. And then in the second part, from verses 8 to 10, it tells us that a woman has 10 silver coins, lost one coin in a house. And so what did she do? She lighted a lamp, swept the house, searched her house carefully, and when she found the lost coin, she called her friends and the neighbors and told them, rejoice, rejoice with her, with me, because she has found the lost coin. And so this morning, as we come to the Word of God, we ask ourselves this question: what have we lost this morning? And so this is our first point. A son lost to the world. Now Luke 15, in our passage from verse 11 to verse 31, tells us that a father has two sons. The elder son stayed with the father. And so the elder son is dutiful, he worked diligently, and he seldom take time off. Not like most of us, we would take time off when it is due, right? So he seldom take times off. But the younger son is different. He's attracted to the world. And so he left home to explore the world. And he asked his father for his share of his inheritance. And so the father gave it to him. He took it and he left for the world to a far away place. And there the young son lived wildly, spent frivolously, and soon all his money is gone. And soon he found out that the friends that he had were no longer there for him. So what do you think? No money, no fun, no friends. And when he thought that nothing could be worse, a severe famine came. Famine and no money for food. What can the younger son do? He was desperate. Desperate to look for work so that he can survive. And finally, he was hired. And his job, the lowest job he can find, is to feed the pigs. Not the job that he wants, if he got a choice. But he has no choice, and so he took it. And nothing, even the pig's feet, was meant for him. And so you have a situation where he has nothing to eat and he was starving. Now this must be the lowest point in his life. Far away from family, no friends, alone and starving, longing to eat what the pigs are eating. Have nothing, no money, no food, no friend, no help. And the situation is getting worse. What should he do? Then he remembered his family. He remembered that they don't go hungry. Even his father's servant had food to eat. But here in this place, he was hungry and he was starving. Even longing to eat what the pigs are eating. Now, remembering is such an important word. If we don't remember the wrong that we have done, we will never do, or we will not do the right that we should. I think it's worth repeating this. That if we don't remember the wrong that we have done, then we will not do the right that we should. If we don't remember who we belong to, we will live our life as we wish, as we please, with no accountability to anyone, without any responsibility. So one day, the young son came to his senses, and he remembered his father. And he decided to turn around and return to his father. He's thinking to himself, at least there will be food there. And so he made his way back to his father, not knowing how his father would respond to his return. Now, this is repentance. When we realize that we are going the wrong way, we should stop. Take our bearings. Ask what went wrong. Determine what is right and get on the right way. Now, the question uppermost in the younger son's mind is this: will his father accept him? If he had to ask for his share of his inheritance from his father, and so he asked for his share of inheritance from his father, and he got it. But he spent all of this on wasteful living. Nothing left. And he is in despair. I don't know, when I share with you this, is there somebody that comes to your mind that may be in the same situation that he is? But here, nothing left, and he was despaired. What would his father say when he found out that his son has lost everything, and he's broke, and he's destitute? Will the father disown him? Will his father drive him away? Now, these are terrifying question to ask, because there's no pity, no friends, no help from one another, broke, and worse, he is starving. Very depressing, isn't it? And there's only one option left for him, and it is to repent, turn back, return to the Father. At least there'll be food on the table. Remain where he is to starve to death. And so what a terrible situation he has got into himself. No money, starving, and without family and friends. He realized that he has hit the bottom. At the bottom, the only way is to look up. And the younger son remembered his father's love. The right thing to do is to repent and return to his father. Tell his father that he has messed up his life, and he's sorry. And he wants to turn around and reconcile with his father. But the question remains. The younger son has wasted all his inheritance on reckless living. No money and no friends. So will his father accept him if he is repentant? But this is the only way to reconcile with his father. And so this leads us to the second point. Repentance brings reconciliation and celebration. Now, our passage tells us that unknown to the lost son, the father was waiting for him. The father did not go after the lost son. No search and rescue mission to get him back. The search would not be fruitful if the lost son was not ready to return. You see, the lost son has to make the decision. Repent and return to his father. Or refuse to repent and remain lost. He has to decide, and no one can decide for him. So what is the right thing to do? Now, losing a son is different from losing a sheep or losing a coin. A lost sheep cannot return by itself. The shepherd has to go out looking for it, find it, and then bring it back. The same for the coin too. The owner has to find it, rejoice when she found it. What about the lost son? The father has to wait for the lost son to return. The lost son must want to return to his father. Just as the son decides to leave the father, he must make the choice to return. And the choice is his. Remain lost and starving, or return and reunite with his father. Eventually, the lost son came to his senses. Returning to the father is definitely better than starving. And so he turns around and he returns to his father. But unknown to the son, his father was waiting for him. The father saw the lost son coming from a distance, filled with compassion for him, ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And there was so much rejoicing. You know, when I look through the passage, this is probably the best scene in the passage. The way the father come and welcomed him, ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. At last for him, the younger son was found. Once he was lost to the world, but he repented, turned around, returned to his father, and now he is found. Once he was dead, now he is alive. And the father called for a big celebration. And so there was great rejoicing in the family. You see, reconciliation brings rejoicing. And rejoicings call for celebrations. The younger son is reconciled to his father. He's no longer the lost son. He is found. He's the new son. And when he repented, in a way, he is born again. Same for us too. When we repented, if we have been straying from God, if we have repented, then we are born again. We are the new son and daughter of God. And this lost son became a new person. A new robe, clothing him with a new righteousness. A ring on his finger, testifying to a new belonging to his father. And finally, sandals for his feet to walk a new life. Now, what does this mean for us? Do we know someone who left the church? That person used to be part of the church family here. But he doesn't seem to be around. No contact. Lost. Gone. Not in touch anymore. What happened to him? It's time to reach out to that person and ask that person to return. Remember Christ came for us. He reached out to us. He found us and he turned us around from unbelief to belief in the Savior Jesus Christ who came for us. From sinners to sons and daughters of God. No longer lost. God's love has found us, and we are sons and daughters of God. And God clothes us with his righteousness and love. And so we are born again. We put off the old, put on the new, new clothes that reminds us that we are a new person in Christ, a ring on our finger that reminds us that we belong to him, and a pair of sandals that reminds us of our new walk in our new life. no longer living carelessly and selfishly for self, but walking in steps with the Lord our Savior, following Him where He leads, going where He sends, and blessing the persons, the people that He sends into our way. Look at the elder son. He's dutiful. He's diligent. He works hard. But he's not happy. And apparently he enjoys nothing. He's angry that his father had lavishly celebrated his lost son's return. But he himself had never had a celebration. And the father saw what is happening, reached out to his elder son and helped the elder son to see things in the right perspective. One, that all the father has, whatever belongs to the father, actually is meant for the elder son, because the younger son has spent all. Two, the lost son, the younger brother, has returned. And it is a joyful occasion. It is a time for celebration. It is not a time for condemnation. And so it is a time for the lost son to take off his filthy clothes and put on the new clothes on his body, new sandals on his feet, a new ring on his finger. New clothes on the son who repented and returned because he is found. New sandals for his new walk in his new life. And ring on his finger to mark his new belonging to God and to his father and family. And so today, we rejoice because God and Christ has made us worthy to be sons and daughters of God. We are living the new life. We are new with a new desire to love God and to love the people that He sends on our way. Now, what was the older brother's reaction? And that's a third point. You see, it's filled with jealousy. And so jealousy unchecked can breed bitterness. You see, the younger son was lost, but he returned. Now he's found. And he's much rejoicing in his return. The older brother has everything, but he enjoys nothing. Jealous that his father celebrates the lost son's return. The elder brother needs to see things in the right perspective. You see, he has everything, yet he enjoys nothing. His younger son has nothing, but he's happy to be back to his father. And so, let me encourage all of us to watch our life. Don't let jealousy turn us into a bitter person. Instead, let God's love make us a better person. A bitter person stays unhappy. A better person continues to learn and to grow and to love. So we can rejoice with those who rejoice. And we can be grateful to God for His love and for His blessing. Remember that our Heavenly Father will never leave us or forsake us. So watch our steps. Keep in step with Him. Keep our life in step with Him. The younger brother has lost everything, became destitute and homeless, but the younger brother repented and returned to the Father. His repentance opens the way of reconciliation. And the waiting father saw the lost son returning, ran to the lost son, put the best robe on him, a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. This is a beautiful picture of reconciliation. And reconciliation leads to reinstatement. A new robe covers the repentant son with a new righteousness. The ring on the finger points to a new belonging, and sandals on his feet for his new walk. So live out this new life that God has given to us. Continue to grow in God's love, and continue to go where God leads and sends us, and continue to be a blessing to the people that God has sent us to. Can we say amen to that? Shall we all come and pray together, seek God in prayer? So, Father, we thank you for your word for us this morning, and we thank you for your mercy and your love for us. Once we were lost, but now we are found. Thank you for the ministry that you have also given to us, that we may reach out to the many so that they may know your love and know you, so that we may also live our life purposefully for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.